3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it is time once again for Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend here on WUWM. I'm Bruce Winter with Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney, who brings us stories and other goodies every week. And this week we have a theme for the couple of stories, which is
showing up.
Well, we've done that, so.
That's right.
But this is a different kind of showing
up. It is a different kind of showing up. And I'm glad everybody else in the listening audience has showed up for this particular show, because we brought stories today that are witnessing or experiencing social injustices that are going to propel you to show up for justice, basically. So, you know, whether you are witnessing microaggressions being slung around a table with your family or friends, or you're watching the news or social media and you're seeing injustice take place, as we all are, it's really, really important to stand up and show up against these social injustices, because it's so easy for people to be desensitized by this happening so frequently, especially when it's coming down your news stream so often. And reason being is that we all have to take responsibility for these injustices, because it's not just one culture's problem or one person's problem. It's everybody's problem. So it's important to show up.
And we have stories on that to kind of show that in these trying times that we live in today, it is important to do something.
Definitely. So we're going to start out today's show with a story told by one of our Exfabula fellows, Amanda Pansiera. She told her story at an event called Embracing Cultural Differences that was at a TOSA All-City Read. So let's listen to Amanda Pansiera.
When I arrived at my best friend's front door in Charlotte, North Carolina last fall, my heart was racing. I walked up, stood there, rang the doorbell, waited, and then finally heard the door click, and she opened it, peeked out, looked me in the eye, and then shut the door. And I waited, and I waited. She opened again and said, "You're here!" I met my best friend at the end of my second term of AmeriCorps. I had served in Providence and had moved there from the Midwest. She had served in New Hampshire and had moved there from the South. I officially met her at the end of those terms, though I knew who she was far before that. She had a reputation for having a really enormous personality, really energetic, really powerful. And some friends of mine had met her at a conference and said, "You have to meet this girl." And I finally got this opportunity when I started dating one of her friends and fellow Corps members from New Hampshire. So we were at this breakfast gathering, and she walked up to me, grabbed my arm, pulled me into a room, shut the door, looked at me and said, "What are your intentions with Tony?" And it was this sense of humor and deep caring for her friends that made an instant connection. That connection continued over the years as I continued to date Tony. When her and her husband were expecting their first daughter, they asked Tony to be the godfather, and they asked me to be the fairy godmother, which means all fun all the time. And when Tony and I were planning our wedding, we asked her to be our matron of honor, her husband to be our officiant, and our goddaughter to be our flower girl. Their lives are integral to ours, and ours are integral to theirs. Just over, or nearly 2 years ago, Emerald had her second daughter, and her world forever changed. And 3 weeks later, my mom passed away, and my world came crashing down. So in that first day after her loss, I was in this haze of balancing the minutiae of an obituary's word count and the enormity of the grief that I was facing. And I got a phone call from my best friend, and she said, "My flight lands in Milwaukee tomorrow at noon." And I said, "No, you just had a baby." And she said, "Of course I'm coming. Where else would I be?" So in that first week of living in a world where my mom wasn't, my best friend, a three-week-old baby, and I spent countless hours on a couch, sitting, talking, laughing, crying, just being. That's my favorite thing to do with her, is just be. And in the last few hours of us being together, she said to me, "Can I sing a song to you?" And I said, sure. So I curled up next to her on the couch, and from her, with this tiny baby laying on her chest, the most beautiful song came from within her. And I'm sitting there taking it all in and start crying. She sang the hymn, His Eye is on the Sparrow. And I realized the connection of that song and what she was doing for me in that moment, that no matter what was going to come to my life, she was there to cover me, protect me, be there for me. She had my back. And it was that moment that I actually got sparrows tattooed on my back as a reminder of that friendship, so that I'm constantly carrying that power with me. Not too long ago, I got a text from my best friend, and it said, I'm getting pulled over by the cops. If something happens, know that it wasn't suicide. See, this is the difference in our relationship. For as much as we have in common and as much as we share, there's one major difference, and that's that the energy and power and enormous personality that my best friend, Emerald LaToya Anderson Ford, carries under her beautiful black skin means that when she gets pulled over by the police, her fear is that she's going to become the next Sandra Bland, that she's going to be the next black woman to be pulled over in a routine traffic stop, put in prison for 3 days, and then die, blamed on suicide. Luckily for us, Emerald was fine that day, but that fear that ignited in her that day lit this storm of being a part of this movement. And not too long after that, Keith Lamont Scott was killed by the police in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then Emerald and her husband, Damond, were spending every single night on the streets of Charlotte, coming together with the community, just asking for everyone to listen, wake up, please recognize that Black lives matter. And every moment that she spent out there, I was at home terrified that something was going to happen to her and Damond, and also so proud of what they were doing and getting out there and being a part of the movement. Yet this fear was in me that something was going to happen and we were going to have to pull our goddaughter in and explain to this beautiful black baby why the world had wronged her. So I went to Charlotte. I had to go. I had to go there. I needed to be there. I needed to just show up. I needed to let them know that no matter what the world brought them, I was going to be there to cover them, protect them, to have their back. I needed to sit on the couch and just be with Emerald and hold her hand that now has those same sparrows tattooed on it to mirror mine. See, what we've learned is that when our worlds come crashing down, sometimes the thing you have to do is just show up and just be with the people you love. So when I stood there on that porch and she opened the door, shut it, and opened it again, and she said, you're here. I said, of course I am. Where else would I be?
And that was Amanda Pansiera's story that was told at one of our Exfabula Fellowship events that was partnered up with the Tulsa All City Read.
You mentioned that she was an Exfabula Fellow. I think before we go today, let's make a bookmark that we talk about that.
Oh, definitely, because there's going to be a lot of opportunities for people to become Exfabula Fellows for our next season.
We'll have more details after this next story.
Yes. Mark Rice told a story back in November where Exfabula collaborated with Project Return, which is a local nonprofit that aims to support recently incarcerated folks as they transition from prison back to their respective communities. So let's listen to Mark Rice's showing up story.
When I was 19 years old, instead of going to college, attending classes, going to the library, and worrying about exams like many people in this room, I was sent to state prison in Wisconsin. A judge sentenced me to 30 months in state prison and 12 years of probation. When I was incarcerated, I witnessed the racial injustice of Wisconsin's penal system. Most of the people I was incarcerated with were young African-American men and young Latino men. Many of these men were serving longer sentences than I was for, and many of them had committed crimes less serious than my crime. I got released on parole after serving 20 months of my sentence. I did well for the first 6 years after I got released. I didn't get convicted of any new crimes. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in human services in 2006 from Upper Iowa University in Madison, Wisconsin. After that, I decided to move to Milwaukee. I started to go to graduate school at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And so I entered into the master's program in urban studies. Everything went well for the first year, but then I started having difficulties during my summer break. But then during my summer break, about a week before classes were going to start, I was down to my last $30, and I was not able to find employment all summer. It was a very stressful experience for me. While I was in prison, I was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. A few days before I was going to start taking classes, Milwaukee police officers arrested me for disorderly conduct while I was experiencing symptoms of my disabling mental condition. The police officers took me to jail. I went to court a few days later. Court officials all agreed that my behavior did not fit with the definition of disorderly conduct. The judge dismissed the case, but I did not get to go home. My probation officer in Milwaukee, who had no specialized training in mental health issues, decided to move forward with the revocation process. My former probation officer in Madison, who was a mental health specialist, thought that a treatment alternative to incarceration program would have been a better option for me. My probation officer forced me to spend 6 months in the Milwaukee Secure Detention Facility while I fought the revocation. When I was in MSDF, I witnessed all types of atrocities, including suicide attempts, people severely mutilating themselves, and fights where people were seriously injured. I was locked down 22 hours a day. I stayed in the special needs unit there. I never was able to see outside or go outside. I never had the opportunity to have headphones. I couldn't listen to music to relax. Headphones and radios are not allowed in the facility. MSDF administrators put me on so much medication that I started to get sick, and I was sleeping almost 16 hours a day. I kept taking the medication because I thought that they would not let me out if I stopped taking it. And so eventually I went in front of an administrative law judge after waiting for 6 months. The administrative law judge decided to revoke my probation. I was facing 12 years in prison, so it was a very stressful and traumatic experience for me. It was a very difficult experience. I became very depressed at the end. And so after that, after being revoked, having the probation revoked, I went in front of the sentencing judge. And so that was very stressful as well because I was facing so much time. Fortunately for me, the sentencing judge decided to let me go back home. And because of the revocation, I lost my job, I lost my scholarship, I lost my supplemental security income, I lost my food share assistance. So I decided to go back to UW-Milwaukee after I got out. And 2 years later, I completed my master's degree program in urban studies. It was while I was a graduate student at UW-Milwaukee studying the emergence and evolution of efforts to end mass incarceration in Wisconsin that one of my professors told me about a campaign to end mass incarceration led by the faith-based organization Wisdom and about the work of MICA, Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Ally for Hope. The first event that I went to was a protest against unjust probation and parole revocations. It was a very powerful experience for me because the protest was in front of Milwaukee Secure Detention Facility. While I was detained there, I thought that nobody cared. Seeing so many people from different ethnic backgrounds and different religious backgrounds coming together to protest against this unjust practice was a very emotional experience for me. I realized that I had something to give, that there was power in my story, and that I could make a difference. And so I decided to jump in, and I just kept going. Today, I chair the statewide post-release issues workgroup of Wisdom, which is working campaign. We have a campaign to end mass incarceration, Wisconsin, known as Rock Wisconsin, Restoring Our Communities, Wisconsin. I'm also a statewide organizer for a group called EXPO, Ex-Prisoners Organizing. Yeah, and so thank you, everyone. I'll cut it short. And so, all right, thanks, everyone.
And that was Mark Rice telling his story from an event that Exfabula partnered up with Project Return.
Now, we mentioned earlier that the first storyteller today, Amanda Pansiera, was an Exfabula fellow, and that's come up before on these shows. What exactly is a fellow, and if someone would be interested in becoming an Exfabula fellow, how is that done?
Well, sure. Well, an Exfabula fellow has a really important job in Milwaukee, and that is to show up and tell your personal true story based on your feelings and experiences with race and privilege here in the city of Milwaukee. It's important to tell these stories because there's an audience that needs to hear them desperately. And the more understanding that we have in the end, the better off this community will be and stronger in the end. We are creating, this will be our third season of Exfabula Fellows that will start up next season. If anybody is interested in becoming an Exfabula Fellow, please go to our website at exfabula.org. We have a lot of information about the application process.
And information there also about an upcoming event real soon.
Yes, and if anybody wants to get involved with our organization to help elevate the stories such as the ones you heard today and other ones that are story slams, there is a volunteer orientation that's going to be held on Tuesday, June 27th at Washington Park Library from 6 to 7 p.m. And you can find the link to that at exfabula.org as well.
All information about your organization is at that website. And if you want to share these stories you heard today or listen again, they are at WUWM.com. We are here every Saturday and Sunday during Lake Effect Weekend with Exfabula Radio. Thank you.
Thanks so much.